Hope out, and we have some big plans and visions and dreams for the future of this church, and they shall surely come to pass. For it's one thing to dream dreams, it's also a way to plan to make dreams come true. And I like good dreams that come true. And I know that we'll have a large team choir in days to come. Already you have a fine youth group and as fine a program as you have in the land. But we'd like to triple the numbers, wouldn't we? And wouldn't it be marvelous to see it grow? Well, maybe we can do that. I'd like to speak tonight from the life story of Daniel under the title, A Young Man in Babylon. A Young Man in Babylon. Chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now we think that this is a bloody time in the history of Asia, especially Vietnam. We have watched the Americans lose their first war, actually, in the wars of history. It has been an embarrassment and a disgrace. We have also debated back and forth about the wisdom of bringing all of these Vietnamese into the United States. I was in a restaurant with a couple of friends of mine. One of them took me back a little bit. Once in a while, you have a period of your life, teenagers, that just kind of will rattle your cage a little bit. And my cage has been rattled just about until the canary doors fell off the cage the last month. It just seemed like a lot of things shook me till it made my teeth rattle. And a lot of strange things happened. The Bible says, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. In the day of adversity, consider. And I've had, on and off, on a structured and protracted installment plan, a time of, really, my cage being rattled. And one little incident, a very dear friend of mine that is a little high-strung, was in the restaurant with me and another friend, and I said, in passing, we were talking about Vietnam, I said, I'll tell you why South Vietnam fell, and he exploded. You ever had anyone come unglued unexpectedly? He said, Crowdy, that's what I can't stand about you. You're always dogmatic and cocksure. You're just like you had all the answers. And he said, why don't you say, in your opinion, you know why South Vietnam fell? I was taken back. I smiled. He had the attention of the entire restaurant at that time. And he had my attention, too. Well, I've said for many years, if anything I can't stand, it's a know-it-all. But apparently I was appearing to be one. But on the other hand, I'd like to know everything I can know. And Solomon said, with all thy getting, get knowledge. Another place, with all thy getting, get wisdom. And it is good to have a few answers. I smiled and did the best I could to handle that embarrassing moment, and I said, well, in my opinion, let me tell you why South Vietnam fell. So he said, well, that's better. I said, in my opinion, they fell because they were more wicked and more ungodly than the communists of the North. For the communists won't tolerate open prostitution and dope pushing and payola. They have a way of taking care of that. They just shoot you with a gun and cut off your head. And so the balance of the people find it pleasing to conform. And he said, I apologize, you're right. That's why they fell. He said, when I was in South Vietnam some time ago, he said, I looked at the sin of that city. And yeah, the ungodliness and the nudity and the prostitution and the corruption. And I walked outside the city weeping. And I said, oh God, this is the most filthy place I've ever been. And he said, that is true. You know that in Bible times, again and again, people wondered why a city or a nation fell. And when the people of the people of God, like Israel, became more wicked than the Assyrians or the Egyptians, God used the Assyrians or the Egyptians to judge them. And we need to be so thankful that we live in America. You teenagers should thank God every day of your life that you live in America. Let me tell you how to mail a letter in Indonesia. In Indonesia, you go to the post office and mail a letter, and you hold the letter up on the postal desk, and you hold it like that in your left hand. And you get your money out in your right hand, you hold it down until they take the stamp, and they put the stamp on the letter, and you keep holding it until they cancel it. And then once they've put the stamp on and canceled, then you let them have the money, and then you let them have the letter. Because if you don't do it that way, as soon as you turn their back, they'll steal the stamp off from the letter every time and throw the letter away and keep the stamp. When you're in Korea, if you go by bicycle to the post office, you hire someone to watch your bicycle, or you chain it to a post with a fishing chain that can't be cut with a hacksaw in the length of time that you're in the post office. Because if you don't do that, not occasionally, but every time, your bicycle will be stolen. The thinking is that if you are so dumb and so stupid that you don't hire someone to watch your bicycle, you don't deserve a bicycle. Anyone that stupid doesn't deserve a bicycle. So the Korean thinking is, well, if anyone's that stupid, I'll take better care of the bicycle than that, and I will be a better master than they are of that bicycle, so I will take it, I'll do them a favor. One thing, I'll take care of the bicycle, and second, I'll teach them to take care of their property. We may sometimes think America is a little sinful and corrupt, but God has privileged me to travel around the world, and I'm living in the most righteous nation I've seen so far. And while dope has become a problem, junior high and high school levels, and sin and iniquity is great, it's really something to travel in these other lands. And probably no nation in all Asia has been more wicked and corrupt than South Vietnam. In fact, I've had personal friends that have been there, and the iniquity was so bad you could hardly discuss it publicly. And the communists will clean up morally the land, but they'll never make it spiritual. Did you know, young people, that Christianity is the only thing that survives communism? Jesus said in the face of Caesar in Rome, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the young men of America that went to South Vietnam found such a drastic change. There was sin every place, every type of sin. And being away from home, as the psalmist mentioned in the 139th Psalm, though I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, even there will thy hand take me. And surely the night and the light are like unto you. So there are some that try to hide from God in the darkness of the night. That's when sinners do their sinning. But the psalmist said, that doesn't hide from your sight. God sees you in the midnight hour as well as he sees you in the brilliancy of the morning sunrise. And though you be on the other side of the earth, you see, yet God sees. And maybe you're not aware of it. Most of you older ones are anyway, that these orphans are flying in. They are sons of American soldiers that committed sin on the other side of the world. And the conscience of America seems like they ought to do something about it. And so there's a big argument about that. But many of the people that we've let in, one man had so much gold that he couldn't find anyone to fly his gold in. It was of corruption, prostitution, dope addiction, and we're bringing a lot of these people in. In other words, we have flown in and rescued some of the worst criminals from the communists because they had enough money to buy their way in. Well, it's rather hard to know just what the future will hold. Now, these people were brought in, but they were refugees. When Daniel went into Babylon, it was a different situation. He went in as a captive, and he was taken, and then he was taken back to Babylonia. If there's any place more wicked in history than South Vietnam, we would find it in ancient history in such places as Babylon. Babylon had a strange custom. When they went into war, they would kill those that were difficult, but the rest of them they would bring back, even kings. They would put them on thrones and borrow their wisdom. If they had idol gods, they would say, great, we need to know about the gods, so they'd let them bring their god with them. And the old gods were so vile They were so filthy. It was in the old idolatry. Many young people don't understand about that today. But along with the idol church worship, we would call it, they put up an idol, and it may be a sex god, like Apis or Ashtaroth. Well, to please that god, you committed sexual sins. And if it was a war god, then to please that god, you had to kill people. And it was just kind of legalized sinning is what it was. In other words, well, I can do this because my religion says it's all right. In other words, the communists have a religion without God, and it's all right to kill to justify the end. And so their religion is really one of Antichrist spirit and murder, and anything justifies their goal of world conquest, you see. Well, with the Babylonians, any religion, that's all right. Bring your religion in. And so as a result, it was the filthiest place morally. They had dope and mixtures of things that they would drink to induce different things, witchcraft and darkness and occult that America doesn't even know about today. Now with the bloody fall of war and the defeat of the people of God, Nebuchadnezzar and his troops came down again and again. They'd take a few villages and they'd take some of them captive to Babylon, and then they'd come down, and it was nearly 100 years in the destruction of Judah and Israel. And Daniel and the three Hebrew children were taken into that world capital. You really can't believe the darkness. It was nothing for them to make human sacrifices to their god. They brought in Molech, the fire god, and with arms outstretched in a pit of fire, opening into his stomach or sometimes in a huge mouth, they had to sacrifice the little babies unborn. Just after birth fire god. Then they built fire and walked through it. They still have that form in the world in many places today. Why? One man said to me, would God of mercy let them come in and kill all of the people, the women and children? God warned again and again by the prophets that they must repent of this, or he would come and cut them off. And God finally put it this way. He would cut them off completely and give that land to people that wouldn't mass murder their babies just after they were born. Well, America is not so much more righteous than that when on a public wave across the land, you see, it becomes acceptable to kill the babies before they were born. And on the university level now, abortion is a thing that's becoming more and more accepted. And you're kind of some odd duckling if you don't believe in abortion. So extreme and old-fashioned and legalistic. America is headed the way of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, and Rome. But I'm not headed the way America's going. Hallelujah, I'm heaven-bound. As we sang the other night, I'm on my way right now. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house. Now, this idea of being alone or lonely is a strange thing. Being highly gregarious, I've not had a problem with that. But they say loneliness is one of the worst ways to suffer. And to be out in the desert or on the ridge among the sagebrush, the small bush, and where there's only the circling of the eagles and the ravens, you're not alone. But you'll be surprised how much wildlife is there, even to the lizards and the rabbits and all of the many, many types of desert life God made. And when you're there, you feel a kinship to nature. I love to be out that way, and I never feel alone. In fact, it seems that somehow I feel closer to God than ever before. But if you really want to feel alone, you go to the city alone. And in the next few years, all of you teenagers will have, if you've not already had, the experience, sooner or later, of being in a city, a large city, alone. And then is when you really find out what kind of a person you are. You'll have a sense of aloneness lost in the multitude that you'll never find in the wilderness. Now, if you'd like to know what kind of a character you are, set yourself down in New York City as a teenager, alone with $100 in your pocket. And then let me know where you go, what you do, how you spend your money. When the pastor doesn't know you're there, your mother and father don't know you're there, and then see how you fare. And in the years to come, every one of you shall sooner or later have that chance. It takes, therefore, some decision and preparation and undergirding ahead of time to stand like Daniel did, a young man in Babylon. He was not only offered the occasion to sin, he was not only tempted to sin, he was threatened with his very life if he did not sin. His home capital had fallen. His church had fallen. His childhood way of life had fallen. It was swept away with the machines of war. Now, with the threat of death hanging over his head, if he did not sin the sins of Babylon, he had to face what manner of man, what type of a character he would be. How would you fare in his shoes? How would you pass the test? I've been in youth work for over 20 years, and I've counseled again and again and again the tragedy of the broken lives, the broken minds, and the consequences of teenage sinning when they didn't pass the test of being alone in the city. Well, I think Daniel brought a very good testimony, don't you? Verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, was part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. It's like taking our organ and our piano, taking them downtown to some nightclub to use them for all of the sensuality of the day. And then take you as a teenager and put you there and put a gun to your back and say, commit these sins, or we'll snuff your life out. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, the kings of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now these were the very best young people. They were the blue ribbon winners. They were the winners of the state CA talent contest. Better yet, the national winners. They were cut out for the leadership of tomorrow. They were the caliber to be ministers of youth and district CA presidents of tomorrow. But now everything familiar had fallen. It'll be like the Russians coming in and destroying America and taking you, killing your mother and your father, and then taking you to Moscow and offering every kind of sin known to man. Really, the heat was on. Oh, what grand example we have of the past to guide us on our way, teenagers, of how Joseph, the very victim of injustice, passed the test. By the way, nothing will do you in any faster, teenagers, than having an awareness or a sense of injustice. Always watch that. When you are right and you know you're right, and others are wrong and they know they're wrong, and they have power over you, and you feel you got the short end of the stick. Many young people miss God at that point. I served God through junior high, to the junior high years, when I became a victim of an injustice that is almost unbelievable from a school teacher. And I got so bitter, I ran a 3-year feud with that teacher, and it nearly destroyed me. It started by someone else's being wrong, until I became possibly far more wrong than she ever thought of being. And it's inevitable that sooner or later someone's going to do you wrong when it's a school superintendent or a teacher, someone in authority, is really going to do you wrong, and that's when Satan will surely take advantage of you. And Joseph and Daniel are a prize example. Did you know that there are very, very few people in all the Bible that have no scandal and no sin laid to their charge? But the two you would think most likely, Joseph and Daniel, passed the test. And Daniel fared so well in Babylon. It took a miracle of negotiation. You know, there's something about living right and being right and being pure of mind and pure of heart, keeping your body strong, that really pays off with God's wonderful reward. So in this case, they had this covenant. Give us so much time, and we will show that without the strong drink of Babylon, without the rich foods, without the sensual life, we will be far more fit of mind and personality than all of the young men of Babylon. And they were on in that strange health food contest, athletic contest, physical fitness contest. And the Holy Spirit crowned their life. And through the rest of the book, we have this grand example of a young man named Daniel who passed the test and passed it well. First, he was a young man of purity when he went into Babylon. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. We've had so much to say about situational ethics. I was in the Rocky Mountain Youth Camp two or three summers ago, and they had optional classes. And one was on situational ethics for our teenagers. And more young people signed up for that class than any of the others, because we're living in that area. You know, what if you had to have a choice between lying or betraying God? Would it be better to tell one lie? Is it all right to commit a small sin to avoid a large sin? And sometimes things really get sticky. One of the most difficult things for young people at no time is what is right and what is wrong. And you do have to learn. There are some areas that are a little gray. You need to read Romans chapter 13 once in a while and deal with those things that are questionable and how to deal with them. For sooner or later, you're going to get a teenager like a slap in the face, and you're going to find somebody that thinks something you do all the time is a sin. And there are some people so narrow that they can walk through the door without opening it. They can just slip through the crack. There are some people that whatever you do, it's a sin. Why, by some people's rules, I couldn't live for God till noon, because you can't laugh and be a Christian, according to some people. That sure bars me out in a hurry. I even get carried away and laugh in church once in a while. Isn't that terrible? Well, you see, people do have different convictions. And as young people, you have to build some convictions like Daniel did, when the church is not the question at all. That you can answer before God, or you can live for God and die for God in a strange country. So back in those days, the issues were so different. One man believes you can eat meat once it's been offered to idols. Another man says you can't eat meat offered to idols. And another man says you can't eat